This is RSVNB Update, episode 330, recorded Saturday, October 15th, 2011. At least I'm not Zimbabwe. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us for another fabulous episode of RSVNB Update. That's not going to be a sarcastic affair.
No, definitely not.
We were listening a little bit too much to GLaDOS there in the beginning, so I was giving sarcastic responses to all of our audio questions. But I promise I won't do that this time.
Yes. And here with me this week is Shane
Yes.
Our wonderful host. And, of course, you know me. I'm Mr. King Kula, and one of the moderators on our wonderful website of RSVNB. And how are you doing this week, Shane?
Oh, pretty good, all things considered. I mean, when you have a week where the only things that annoy you are hooligan protesters on the news, that's a pretty good week, right?
Yeah, I'd say so, considering there's a lot of things wrong with the world.
So, anyways, thank you for that introduction. You want to continue
on?
Thank
you. I thought you would never introduce me. You usually do it right away, you know? Or unless I'm with other people, in which case I'm last.
Yes, I'm sorry about that. I really should have done that, but I don't know. Oh. It just must be something in the water, but
Must be something in the air.
Yeah, the pit. The agility pit, the distraction and diversion.
So, on to RuneScape updates.
Yes. So, basically, for anybody who is unaware, this is a distraction and diversion that you get once upon a time when you're doing agility at one of the agility courses. The talent scout is there, and he will pull you off to the side if he's impressed with what he sees. At both the gnome courses, the agility pyramid, the barbarian courses, Apatol, wilderness agility course, werewolf, and Dorgish Khan agility course as well.
Mm.
So basically what this is a modern random event, really. That's the best way of describing it, because the scope of it is just like a random event. I think it even takes longer to run through the maze random event. So I don't know why this isn't called a random event, or the other random events aren't called distractions and diversions, really.
Maybe it's because they're trying to bring back the old random events. They're just trying to be more sophisticated about it.
Oh, they could do that, and that would help a few things if they would bring back the old deadly random events, like the chicken and the zombie kind of things, you know?
Oh my god, maybe they're finally recognizing the bot problem.
We're going to get there in just a minute, actually. But,
Does anyone else think that this big blue fist looks really, really weird? Like, just in comparison to, like, the rest of the guy's gear, you know?
Blow it up.
Yeah, it still looks weird, though. It looks like he's, like, draped the Scotland flag around his arm or something, you know?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure what the point of having that around the one arm would be. I mean, maybe that's to punch you out, because you do get punched out to get taken to the pit.
No, it's possible. I don't know.
So, Jagex advocating violence, that's not a good thing, but who cares? It's just pixels.
That's true. And considering there's a combat skill, I mean, there's a lot of violence in the game, whether it's pixelated or not.
Yes.
So, someone punching you out isn't that bad. Remember the old sandwich lady? If you got a question wrong, she hit you over the head with a sandwich and teleport you off to some random spot on the map?
Yeah, that, I don't know. I actually kind of enjoyed that.
Yeah, I did too. That was kind of funny.
So, anyway, in the pit, there's six little random events. Well, not random events, but they call them events, and it's random which one you get. There's Flora's Lava. So basically, you need to make your way from one side of the room to the other by jumping on the crates and hoping that the crate doesn't break against you. High, low there. Basically, you're shown a number, then you guess if the next number is going to be higher or lower. Not much agility involved there.
More luck.
Yeah. There's also karaoke. But it's not real karaoke. You just have to avoid the falling rocks from the other guy's karaoke singing.
So not really karaoke at all, then.
No. Put the thing in the other thing. So basically, this is you. There's a whole bunch of holes, and they're shaped in certain ways, and you need to take these little stone pieces or whatever, and put them in the right shaped hole. It's kind of like those kids' games, you know? Does the square go in the circle? That sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, making sure there's, you know, it fits perfectly and whatnot.
Yes. Punch the hungry sheeps. A herd of sheep has invaded the challenge cave, and one has swallowed the key to the rewards. Punch sheep until you find the one who ate the key.
Oh, that sounds like the old cow massacres from back in Lumbridge, you know?
You have five chances.
How many sheep are there?
There's like 15 or so.
Oh, okay. So you have to be really lucky to get
there. Yeah, yeah. Then this last one is another thing of luck as well, called crate expectations. There's a whole bunch of crates, and you need to find the one with the key in them.
Hmm. So, do you have only like five chances?
Yep, five chances for these two. So.
Oh, okay. So this is really more of a luck D&D than an actual agility one, then.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking, this is kind of the closest we're going to get to RuneScape gambling, because it involves chance, you know? And at the end, you're also able to gamble your points away, and you'll either get half, double, or none of your points.
Hmm.
So.
Well, at least you get something, right?
Yeah, and you also get a gorilla mask.
Hmm.
I don't know where the gorilla mask came from, but, yep, a gorilla mask.
Like a gorilla mask or a gorilla mask? Like the animal mask or like a, you know, like a guerrilla warfare mask? Well, I don't know. It's they sound so
similar. The animal.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. Even our Canadian accents are hard to decipher between us.
Yeah, well, you know, there's something to be said for guerrilla warfare, then.
Yeah. I guess so.
We could have an event where everybody brings their mask, and we could call it guerrilla warfare.
That would be a cool thing. That's a pun worthy of RuneScape.
And for people who know, I don't normally make puns, so.
That's true. I make far too many of them. Enough for the both of us, probably.
So, experience. If you have level 99, this is not worth doing, provided you enter manually with your cape, rather than actually being asked to enter. So don't do that and hope to get good experience, because you don't. It's like 200 agility experience max per round. But if you're just entering without 99 agility or without your cape, it ranges anywhere between, people have said, between 200 and 1300 experience, depending on what you do. So
if you're a lower level, then it's not too bad.
Yeah, and it's a nice way to get away from agility, but personally, it doesn't take very long, so, you know, I'm not entirely sure about the appeal of this, just because it's such a short little spurt. It would be nice if it was a tad longer, because you could really get through this in about 30 seconds or so, which, you know, training agility is kind of dull, so you might want something that lasts a little bit longer, like on the level of, I don't know, a shooting star, an evil tree, distraction and diversion. That's something to think about with this. But aside from it, I like the idea of it, the fact that it's a chance-based game, and I love those chance-based games, you know? Like, you're given five guesses to choose something, and if you win, or if you pick the right one, you win. I don't know what you call those kind of games, but I like those kind of games.
Well, yeah, that would be a chance and guess game, you know?
Yeah. And when you throw a bit of gambling on top of it, that's fun as well.
Well, it's not exactly like you're gambling anything of your own. It's not like you have to pay anything to enter, right?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I still want like a weekly RuneScape lottery ticket or something. But anyways, that's the pit. I don't think there's really much else to say on this. It's not a huge game-changing update, like updates of past weeks. So you
could say it's not the best update, but it's not the pits. Ha 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 ha.
Yes, yes, yes.
See, I told you I make puns.
That's good. Keep it up.
All so right. What's up next?
Little bit of tweaks and fixes. Primarily, you can now type up to 255 characters in a private message.
Yay!
Because with the recent chat update and everything, they were being truncated. So, that's good that Jagex has put this high limit in place. So I commend them for that.
Mm-hmm.
Not much else in release notes to mention aside from the fact if you play Mobilizing Armies, there's new items that can be invested to get points. So you might want to look at that if you're at all interested in Mobilizing Armies. Yeah, that's pretty much it in release notes this week. Nothing that bad that was fixed in the bug fixes.
Fishing using a small net now has sounds attached.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been really changing the sounds of the game in general and making lots of enhancements on it, so that's good in terms of sounds.
Split private chat, and it was no longer slightly covered up above the chat window.
Oh, like where does it say that?
It's under miscellaneous. It's the third one down.
Oh, I missed that, because what was happening was with the chat update, characters like the G's and the Q's were having their tails cut off.
Oh. Well, that's a good update, then.
Yeah. Oh, I missed that. That's good. Surprising it took them only a week to fix that when it took them... When it took them, like, 3 years to fix the last problem with the chat box.
I guess they have their priorities set.
Yeah.
On the chat ones now.
Which was, for anybody wondering what that problem was, it was the fact that the chat was aligned to the far left side of the window rather than where the other chat was aligned. Like, if you use the split private chat mode, I don't know if that's a mode people use most or not, but that's what I use. Basically, yeah. Now it's aligned with the regular text in the chat box. So,
well, that's good.
And that's pretty much RS updates for the week. It was a pretty easy week to cover and quiet week. So, next thing to move on to is the thing that probably has the most impact on our listeners based on our show we did last week regarding the bots. So, you know, a few days after the show comes out, we get this post on the front page, update on our ongoing battle with bots. So this is a post, again, from Daniel Clow, who is COO of Jagex, Chief Operating Officer. And in this post, he goes through it and describes the fact that, yes, they were wrong. We promised we would couple with programmers and combat the inevitable botting that would result from that decision. Over the last few months, we have initiated a number of programs to do this, some of which we have already mentioned to you, some of which we haven't because of legal reason, and some because we do not want to warn gold farmers and bot makers about our countermeasures. So they do admit that they promised it would, and they would combat it, and now they're actually addressing that. So that's good, because I know that's something last week we said we wanted was a bit of an acknowledgement of the problem, which they have done. So it's clear that they are working on this now. For anybody out there who was a doubter, personally, I was not a doubter, because as we came to the conclusion last week that RuneScape is Jagex's main source of income, and if they let the game go down the drain, then they lose everything and they become less profitable as a company, which you don't want to do, because whenever you're running a company, profits have to be the first thing on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So And then they say measuring initiatives we have about to, that they're about to release or have released recently. We have improved our internal systems to be able to spot spam from the chat window and instantly mute the offender, preventing the flow of constant communication from gold farmers, which we did cover last week. So if anybody did go out there and you see that the free worlds are now quiet now, that's why.
Oh, that's really good. It's a good update.
Yeah, I mean, because previously you couldn't even go into a free world without having this huge list of text flow by you of, like, advertising gold-selling websites and whatnot, so.
And you'd have to turn private chat off and whatnot, or
yes,
hide it.
Yeah.
Or public chat, I mean, just to get rid of all that stuff. And then people would accuse you of being a bot for not responding, right? So,
yeah.
It's a catch-22.
They're also continuing their ongoing legal cases against bot developers, so congratulations for that. And, you know, the bot market primarily, I think, is a bunch of teenagers who go out there and pick up a script and just use it. But the people who make them, I don't know what their case is, but definitely leveraging legal power against them is a good thing, I think. Get those websites shut down. Because you're limiting profits of a company, so I think if you have the right lawyers, you could probably get that taken care of.
Yeah.
And finally, mandatory email validation for new accounts will add extra account security and impair the mass account creation that gold farmers use. Finally, you know, this is something we've done on the internet since 2004.
Yeah. Yeah, don't like most forums use that, an email validation, or any account, really. You have to type in an email and then respond to an email or validating your account and whatnot. So, but in another sense, this will just mean that there will be a lot more dummy email accounts set up as well, just to combat the problem.
Yeah, but you have to do it manually, so you have to make a new account and everything. So
yeah.
And now, you know, any new account created uses the email address as login, so you can only use the email address once.
That's true.
But the most important thing about this that comes in this news posting is that they said they have initiatives and actions they want to implement over the next few months, and they're going to share these with us as much as possible. So, basically, they say they recognize they have not been the best at communicating what they are doing, and that changes today. Personally, I think that's the best paragraph in this whole news posting.
Yeah.
So, because without updating the players, there's nothing really coming out of Jagex that says this is a problem or they're addressing it. So, with the change of updating players on what's going on, it keeps the players in the loop and thereby creates a feeling of certainty, I guess, you know? I think, you know, I think this would have been done a whole lot sooner if Jagex was a publicly held company.
Yeah.
Because then they would have to be accountable to the shareholders and not just their internal structure.
Yeah, well, and also that means that people like gamers and people actually playing the game would have influence in the company as well, you know.
Yeah, and that's good. Like that's how it should be. But I don't think Jagex will go public anytime soon. But
probably not.
And they also say that the war is not going in their favor. They're struggling to keep up with companies whose only business 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is to find ways to get bots in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, "We cannot win this battle alone. We need your help."
Which is kind of funny after all this time, you know.
Yes, you know, it's a far cry from back in January when they said the bots won't come back with the wilderness and everything, and you know.
Yeah. Oopsies.
Yes, and as we mentioned last week, the easiest switch to pull would be to send everything back to how it was back in January. Granted, we wouldn't have a free market, but, you know, it might help the bot problem, especially the real-world trading problem. Mm-hmm. So, and then in order to do this, they're going to be developing surveys. It'll help them understand more about bots, what the player perceives them as. So definitely more player interaction there. They're going to have a special forum set up, and they're going to have targeted Q&As. They say they want to encourage you and your friends to use any tools they provide to help identify bots and report them. So for everybody out there listening to this show, they obviously know we don't like bots, and I hope none of you listeners out there are botting, because if you are, well then, I don't know if you really should be a listener of this show then.
Because we don't like you either. No, I'm kidding.
No, we don't like people that bot.
No, it's not a good thing. It's just encouraging the problem and what's wrong with RuneScape, really.
Yep.
It's all meant to have fun, and if something else is playing your character for you, then I mean, what's the point of having it in the first place? So.
Then they finally say, we ask you to refrain from using bots or supporting gold farmers. If there's not a market, then bots will not exist. Then they quote a tip.it post, which was in a recent posting they did. You guys can read that on your own time. But basically, they want to say that, you know, botting isn't right. You shouldn't be doing it, and you shouldn't support any form of their income whatsoever. Which is a good thing, but they could go one step further, as we said last week as well, and implement the zero tolerance policy on bots, which would be a good thing. I'm kind of not sure why they didn't mention anything like that in this news posting, because as it stands right now, if you get banned, you can have your account bought back for an undisclosed amount of money.
Yeah.
Or sometimes even when you're botting, they just roll your experience back. They don't even ban you. So,
yeah,
I don't particularly know what good that does. So
it seems like you can pay to bot, really.
Yeah, exactly. So case in point, don't bot. I mean, just as I finished saying that sentence, to me, it sounded as though that argument doesn't really have much weight to it when we just finished saying that you can buy an account back and you just get your experience rolled back. So there's something with that JX still isn't doing right. That's the only thing of this post I would have had them say extra.
Yeah. But at least for one thing, they're acknowledging they're having a problem. For a second thing, they're acknowledging that it's not going their way. And the third thing, they're actually acknowledging a fan site, which is pretty darn good. They don't do that too often now, do they?
No, they don't. So.
So, yeah.
Good all around.
It's something. Something is better than nothing, I think.
Yep, and as some people say, the first step to fixing a problem is acceptance.
Yeah. Admitting that you have a problem. And that you need help.
Ah, so there is hope still for RuneScape for whoever sent in that question last week regarding the game and its state. All right. So that's the weekly update on bots. We need a little sound that we can play whenever the Bot Wars segment is about to start each week.
Bot War segment.
Yeah, I'll look into that.
Yeah.
All right, show us your clan pride. So, once again, another thing Jagex is embracing, clans this year. They have this forum thread set up with information where you can send all your clan gear to. So if you have, anything for your clan, you can send it in, and they have pictures of it. So right here you can see this one has a shirt with the clan logo on it, tattoos, something for Wilderness Guardians, a shirt for the Caped Carousers. So if you're in a clan and you have some clan gear that you wear whenever you're in the wilderness going out with your clan or something, take a picture and post it in the clan gallery. Which they wanted sent to postbag@jagex.com.
Mm-hmm. And of course, this one is from Maud Timbo, who's always been an advocate of the clans, actually. He's probably been the biggest J-Mod in the clan community for quite some time now.
Right.
Like he'd show up to clan wars, like, and, like, prototype stuff that hadn't come out in the real game yet, you know, like weapons and armor and gear like that. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, yeah, so he would, you know, he would show up like that. So, yeah, he's a pretty cool guy. He's always been an advocate of the clans. So as long as he's a Jagex, I think they'll always have a voice for the clans.
Look at this one called the Aran Clan. What do you make of that?
Aran Clan. Is that in the forum thread?
Yes.
Hmm.
Second post. I don't get what that is.
The Aran Clan. Or Aran Clan, I guess. Image Shack, why do you load so slowly? Oh. Well, that's interesting. That's a picture of Slash, the guitarist from Guns N' Roses, and at a concert. That's kind
okay.
of weird.
Okay, I did not know that.
That's kind of a weird picture to throw in as a clan, but okay.
How's that related to clans?
I have no idea. That is kind of weird.
And you're sure that that's the guitarist from that band?
I'm pretty sure. That looks exactly like Slash. Slash is known for the top hat and long black hair.
Huh, okay then. I wonder if JX knew that.
I wonder if they did as well. You'd think they would, but seriously, have a look at that link and tell me.
Because that tell kind me, of looks tell me like that the a screen cap.
It does look like a screen cap of a live video or something. But seriously, look.
You're
look
right.
At that.
That does look like that.
It's even the same guitar for crying out loud. It's so how did that make it in there? That's kind of funny. So good on you for pulling one over on Jagex there. I wonder if anyone mentions it in the forum thread. I'll have to look through this. This is kind of funny.
Because everything else is clearly clan-related, you know, in
yeah.
some form of merchandise or whatever. That's like,
yeah.
Okay, is he in that clan, maybe?
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't think so. Is a famous musician part of RuneScape? It's hard to know. Maybe we have more gamer celebrities out there than we thought.
Oh, wow.
So if any one of our listeners out there ever comes across Slash and asks for an autograph or something like that, ask him if he plays RuneScape.
I could just imagine that.
Oh, that would be funny. Wow, that was an interesting, good catch there.
Also, you can send it even to them through the mail system.
Mm-hmm. Postbag@jagex.com.
No, I mean the real mail system, as in St. John's Innovation Center, Cowley Road, Cambridge, UK, CB40WS.
Mm-hmm.
So, definitely should check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing on the first page regarding that.
No. Nothing in the second either.
Ah. Anyways, next up, another Q&A regarding RuneFest this time. These questions were submitted by the players, and they were then answered in person by Mod Paul M. And what's the other mod's name? Oh, I forget. But anyways, there's good information regarding RuneFest there, in that they say, one of them says, will you be recording the insider sessions? Mod Paul M says, we are planning to record them, but it's still fine if you want to bring your camera and film them yourself. So Jagex is going to be recording the insider sessions at RuneFest.
Oh, good. I wonder if it'll be edited at all.
Or if I don't
it's
know.
Going to be, you know, full on. Like if they get tough questions and whatnot, you know. Because I'm pretty sure everyone remembers the red shirt guy from the WoW conference.
What happened there?
He asked him about some sort of inaccuracy, whatnot, and then the views got like combined like 5 million views on YouTube. It's pretty funny.
Okay.
And, they basically asked him a question that completely stumped the developers and whatnot, and then they said, "Yeah, we'll have a look at that and get it fixed." And then they actually introduced they fixed the thing, and then they introduced the guy into the game called the Red Shirt Guy, which is kind of funny. You know, it's cool how they introduce something like that. It would be kind of cool if that kind of happened with RuneScape as well, you know.
Yeah, it would. And, you know, it's good what you say about hard questions, because there is going to be a session regarding bots. So, And people are going to be wanting to hear about that. So I commend them for saying they're going to be recording this. Delivery is another matter entirely. Personally, I think that, you know, they should have these as a pay subscription kind of thing, not just available for everybody. Why not give people who want to, in a way, donate to Jagex, give them a chance to subscribe to these videos? Because, you know, people going to RuneFest are paying that huge amount of money for the ticket and the whole experience there. So why should people get the insider sessions for free if they're not going?
Well, so,
I do hope that there is some kind of pay method for that.
Well, considering that there's limited space available, it'd be nice to, you know, get some snippets of the Q&A sessions, because it doesn't just include all of them. It refers to all of us as well, you know, all of the players that don't go to RuneFest and whatnot.
Yeah, so, but still, it's a far ways away and lots of resources to put into it, so. And some of the insider sessions, they say, won't be recorded. So maybe those are the exclusives to the RuneFest audience.
It might be stuff about upcoming updates or
stuff like that comes out,
you know, which isn't as important. But I mean, stuff about bots and other questions about the game like that, I'd love to hear stuff about that.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, with so many people at RuneFest, you can't sign them all to an NDA. I don't know if RuneFest people have to sign an NDA, but I'd imagine that would not be practical, given the fact that you're potentially dealing with teenagers here.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Anyway,
it would be interesting to know if they have to sign an NDA. Did they have to do that in the past? You know of?
I never heard anything about an NDA last year. I'll have to take a look into that. I don't think there was one. But anyways, so you guys can read this on there, and lots of good answers in here, and lots of excitement building about RuneFest, which is good. And they say they know that people in the U.S. want RuneFest and whatnot, but, you know, so they're not going to ignore that, but they're not making any promises at the same time. Personally, though, I don't think they should have one in the U.S. because I think the U.K. people appreciate it more, because they come from that same kind of medievalism root, whereas the people in the U.S. don't really have that in their culture, if you know what I mean.
Well, what are you saying? People in Britain are medieval?
No, I'm just saying they have that in their history.
I don't know. I think it's more because it's an English company, and you know,
that too.
Listening to a lot of people speak in the accents in America just sounds different, you know. But I mean, if they expand and, you know, they get a lot bigger at RuneFest and it, you know, becomes more popular, it might be an idea to look into, like having a smaller conference in the States or whatnot, you know. Just like how game conferences, they have them in Japan, and then they have them in the rest of Asia, but they also have them in America, and smaller ones in Europe as well, you know? It's good to have little ones here and there.
But it's an English game.
An English game, but where are all their players based?
I know, but...
All around the world.
But they compromise too much to the international audience. Like, they shouldn't be doing Thanksgiving events and stuff like that, because they don't do Thanksgiving in the UK.
Yeah, that's true. But when do they do the... Did they do it in October or November?
November.
Oh, okay. Well, that is a compromise then.
Yeah.
should at least do it in October where it should be. / Canadian.
Anyways, that's enough patriotism today for saying that they should be more like a UK company, but...
Oh, I'm sure there'll be more coming up later.
Yes, all right, so we covered the Pit, we covered Slash, we covered Bots, and we covered RuneFest, so definitely a thrilling session there. We're going to move on to questions now. We got 4 audio questions this week, so first one is from Johnny Great.
Hey Shane, Johnny Great here again. I have 2 questions for you this week. Number 1, what do you think of our current U.S. President, Barack Obama? Me, personally, I kind of don't like him, but we all have our own opinions. And my second, is how would you make fishing more fun? Thanks, and have a great show.
It's almost as if he knew you were coming on.
Yes, I get all of the political questions, it seems.
And as you said, we've answered this before, probably, so...
Yeah. I feel like I've answered it before. I'll probably just reiterate my answer from before, is that he was elected based on, you know, a bastion of hope and peace and change and whatnot, and a lot of that hasn't happened, you know, but it's with the state's politics, it always seems to me like it's a case of you either elect a bad president or you elect a worse president, and it don't no matter where your politics lie, I'm not even all that knowledgeable about U.S. politics as compared to most people, as most Americans, I would say. But it's hard to say your opinion on it. You have to look at the big picture and all of that's happening, and you have to look specifically at what he's been allowed to do and what he hasn't been allowed to do, because in the States the politics there is all based on checks and balances and how inefficient the system is, basically, because of fears of the overlords and empires and whatnot, and, you know, one person can't do too much, you know, to mess things up, which in some ways is a great thing.
But it's an irrational fear in the 21st century.
It's also a really bad thing, because when there are changes that need to be done, they can't be done very quickly, you know? And have to compare that to, say, the British system or the Canadian system, the Westminster model, in which case the Prime Minister has a fair chunk of power to do whatever he wants, or she, as long as they have a majority in the House. And, you know, because there's not too many checks and balances. I mean, we have the Senate here, which is really stupid. It's not like the U.S. Senate whatsoever.
It's basically a rubber stamp.
It is, yeah. It is a rubber stamp. You know, we do this, we do that, and okay, well, you want to pass this law? Okay, fine, we'll just let it through, you know. There's only been a few cases in which case the Senate has been liberal and the government has been conservative, and then only in some very extreme cases has legislation been blocked. That was mostly under Brian Mulroney, in which case some of the things that he tried to pass were probably a good thing that it were blocked.
Yeah, some of the things should have been blocked.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
He ruined the taste for conservatism in Canada for a long time.
Yeah, for a very, very long time, and it just started coming back a few years ago, and I'd argue it culminated in this last election of 2011. But we were talking about Obama, weren't we? And we just suddenly go right on to Canadian politics. That's the problem when you ask someone about, you know, some other country's, you know, leaders or problems or whatnot. But, you know, I think America could have done with a lot worse president than Barack Obama. I think they could have done with a lot better of one, too, you know?
George Bush.
No, no, I would say, no, not George Bush. I would say Clinton, actually, because he did.
Yes.
He did some things bad, but he also did some very good things.
Oh, you mean not the new Clinton?
Not, well, either Clinton, really. But, you know, in either case, you know, it's they're all pretty much the same. It's just whether you get some good things and some bad things, or if you get more bad things than good things. I'm not sure if I'm explaining this well, but they could have done a lot worse or better with I have a kind of a mixed opinion on him, you know. I'm not sure if I'd vote for him, but I'm not sure I'd vote for anyone else other than him, you know, because the alternatives from the other party aren't very appealing to me. I think we did talk about that, you know, what we thought. That's another question that we had about a month or so ago. What were our opinions on the Republican candidates? And, you know, I think I'll stick with Obama in comparison. What do you think?
I'm going to agree with you in that, you know, Clinton would probably have done a better job. But part of the problem is you have to blame the people as well for the decision, because, as you said, it is a system based on checks and balances, and they elect a Democrat president. But what do they do 2 years later? They swap out the Democrat House for a Republican House. Now they're complaining why things can't get done. Well, you guys made that decision. You guys made that decision. Accept that.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what happened during the Bush era? They elected a Democrat House and Senate and whatnot, but they elected a Republican president. I mean, you gotta go with one way or the other if you're gonna go.
Yeah, like you can't have it both ways, otherwise nothing happens, as we've seen for the past few months, you know? So
past few years, I would argue.
So, but you know, I think he would have been a decent president had the economy been better and had the U.S. not been in a war or two. It seems as though he was
set up to fail.
Yes.
He had so many problems that he had to fix, you know,
and before he could get going on what his whole changey-wangey message was. And now that can't be implemented because of the situation I mentioned with people electing the Republican House. Personally, as an international observer, I don't take sides in this kind of thing. But if I was an American, I would not be voting for him next time. But once again, pretending I'm not an American and actually fulfilling my role as just an international observer, I don't think he has much chance next year if the economy stays the way it is. The only way he will have a chance is if the economy gets better, or the Republicans put someone crazy in.
Leaders don't usually get reelected in sustained economic recessions, because it's easier to blame the people that are in power than the people that were in power to set things up.
Yes, that's true. And before anybody out there says that it was the whole George Bush problem, the whole credit crisis was spurred during the Clinton years. Just read up on your economic history to discover the changes Clinton made to the banking system and loan market before you start going on me about that.
Well, you appear to have a fairly decent opinion of George W. Bush, which is very, very contradictory to the majority of Americans nowadays. So,
well, you know, I was thinking about this. What do people not like about him? Like, there's a whole misdirected war, which I get. There's a Hurricane Katrina thing, but what else is there?
Well, I think the wars and Hurricane Katrina and the fact that it was directing everything towards corporations rather than, you know, and the 9/11 and the war on terror and all of that stuff, you know, it just takes one thing to leave a sour taste in someone's mouth about a president, really. And that was his one thing. I guess.
And maybe the fact he used the words internets in a speech.
Yeah, he wasn't exactly the brightest bulb in the tool shed, after all.
But, you know, he's not dumb, because you do have to have some degree of brain power to fill that role, guide the country through two wars at the same time, and call the shots with that. So I wouldn't say he's dumb at all. He has to have some degree of brains to him.
Or you just have to have a very powerful family.
Or a powerful vice president.
That's true as well.
Anyways, I think that covers that. I don't even remember what this guy's second question was. Do you?
Damn it, I did remember it, and then I can't remember it now. What did we think about Obama, and the other one was... I don't know. Do you want to replay it again? I can't remember it. I did remember it. I should have written it down, because now I forget.
Yeah, Oh, what makes fishing more fun?
What makes fishing more fun? That's it.
What can we do to make fishing more fun in RuneScape? Not a whole lot, really.
Listening to music or something else in a split screen.
No. I think he means in regards to what would you add to the game to make it more fun.
Well, I don't know. It's not exactly as if fishing in real life is the most interesting thing in the world. You have to sit.
There are people that would disagree with you.
Well, that's the thing, though. Fishing in real life is fun because of the company you keep and, well, the liquid that you consume, to put it in some certain sense. It's not the, you know, and then you have periods of hours on end where you don't catch anything, and then you get that those few minutes where you get a bite and you can reel in the big one, you know, and it's not exactly the most exciting thing in the world, and God help you if you do it for a living, because there's not much fish nowadays in comparison. But how can you make it more interesting in game? Well, other than, you know, playing with or training with friends and whatnot.
Yeah, I don't really think there's much to do. I mean, you could do little side trips to the fishing trawler and whatnot, but still, it's. I mean, most people that fish for experience, and if you're fishing for experience, you're likely doing rocktails, barbarian, or regular fly fishing. So, and you know, that is monotonous because you're just in one place and there's really not much change in your scenery.
Just be grateful that you catch more fish per hour than you do in real life.
You know, I think we saw this, that you would have changes to the fishing skill with the barbarian training and the leaping sturgeon and all those other kinds of fish. Also the barehanded fishing. I think that's the kind of updates they added to fishing in the long run that make it more interesting. But, you know, people don't really use those. So it's more side things, I think, in reward that makes the skill interesting. Because if there's a reward at the end, you're more likely to train the skill, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... And also with Deadliest Catch Quest, they added those fishing nets that you can wield, so that's useful as well.
Yeah.
Anyways, in short, there's really not much we can do there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you, Johnny. Great. Next one is from Fanaticism.
How do you feel about the several uprisings in places such as Libya and Egypt? We had a discussion earlier Friday morning that I said that America is not too far from such an event, even though I think that the United States Armed Forces are far more prepared for such an event and would likely shut it down in a matter of days or weeks. Do you think an uprising could ever happen in America? People are fed up with things that happen in our government, and it seems like things are at a boiling point. Thanks, and this is Fanaticism.
I don't know. Right. Will the U.S. ever see another and a civil war, for lack of a better term?
No, no.
Not now.
I mean, if you look at countries, what kind of countries in this day and age have civil wars?
The only ones that do are ones with radical governments, really.
Exactly. Or genetic cleansing.
That too.
So, I personally don't give much chance to an uprising happening in the U.S. because, I just think that it's a civilized country, and I don't think they would resort to that. And also,
well, Greece.
Things really are not that bad. People in these who are getting upset in the U.S. regarding the whole Occupy movement and whatnot. These people are complaining about where the wealth is sitting and the fact that the government isn't helping them as much. But the people who are complaining in countries like Libya and Egypt, those people are actually fighting against dictators and not an elected government.
So, civil freedoms rather than economic freedoms.
Yeah, and you know, it's an entirely different case. I mean, really? If that's all you have to complain about, I think you're doing pretty good. I think, you know, if that's all you have to complain about, you're doing pretty good, and there are bigger things to worry about than that, you know?
Well, I don't know, having enough money to live off of and having to work really hard when some
people don't work hardly at all,
and then they get
that's
lots
minor
lots
in comparison to worrying about whether or not you're going to be able to live without worrying about the government coming to break your door down or something because you didn't pay your bills.
Well, it's
coming
like
to execute you in the street or something, you know.
Well, it's like the old adage: if you stub your toe, if you look down the street, they'll have someone with a broken leg. And if they look down the street, there'll be someone dying of cancer, you know.
Exactly.
A stubbed toe still really, really hurts, you know.
But there are worse things that could be happening.
It's true, but, I mean, that's not exactly a valid argument, you know. It's not like, say, it's not to say, you know, come on, U.S., you shouldn't be rioting or whatnot. You shouldn't be protesting. You could be Zimbabwe, for crying out loud.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think I think a better way to put at it is, come on, USA. You could be a better country. You could be more like Canada, for instance. You could be more like Norway or Japan or lots of other great countries that are good to live in and have, you know. That are good, good economically, but you also have to work really hard to get.
And this goes back to the previous question. It's all in who you elect. If that's what you really want, extend Obama's term in 2012, and then replace the Republican House with Democrats again, and give the Democrats a supermajority in the Senate. Problem solved.
Or elect a third party. It's not unheard of. Canada was a two-party system until the 1920s.
Here we go again.
I know, but it's still not that hard to break out of that two-party system. All you have to figure out is that both parties are the same, and then you have to elect someone else.
Yeah, a decent alternative. And you know, that's true with what we've done here.
I think exactly.
Heading back towards a two-party system, which I don't like, but... We did have a multi-party system for a number of years, and it works fine for us. And you know,
it's kind of like a 2.5 party system here, though. That's what.
I guess.
That's the unique.
Who's the half?
Calling it. Well, the half was the NDP, but now the half is the Liberals. So, well, that's what they call it. It's like the only party system of its kind in the world. Really, is our 2.5 party system.
Yeah, you know, that really makes sense, actually, because if you wanted to go to a multi-system, you would need proportional representation.
Mm-hmm.
But, I did say here we go again, but I don't know. I forget what the original point was.
It's kind of funny. He was like, what do you think about the protests in Egypt and Libya? And then we started talking about America again. Maybe we should lay off the politics. Maybe we should play off the politics. TLDR, things could be better, things could be worse. I think that's a good response to both of
yes,
the political
yes.
questions.
That's true. And
but it's hard to know what we can do to change things, like just ourselves as a person.
Yeah, and then it goes back to the entire system. And I honestly don't think radicalism and protesting is the thing to do, because a corporation is going to turn off from that. The people in government, really, the ones who, well, you might get some of them, but majority of them aren't going to really pay attention to that. So I still think the best protest is your vote next year.
It's a good way of thinking about it, I think.
Yeah. But Egypt, Libya, you know, I think that whole thing in Libya, the whole little mission there, the no-fly zone thing to force the guy out, really was kind of unfair. I mean, it's good that it happened, but why was this not offered to Iran last year?
NATO shouldn't have gotten involved, really.
Yeah. Like, if they didn't get involved with Iran, why get involved with Libya? Is it just because they don't want to poke someone who potentially might fight back?
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, that really annoys me.
Well, it's kind of funny in the case of Egypt, because basically the military stood by and they said, well, we'll let you do this. But then they basically took over afterwards. And
yeah.
They promised elections, but that hasn't happened so far, you know. It's kind of, the whole thing is kind of sketchy now, you know.
Yeah, we'll see. So,
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. But I don't know. I don't think, I'm with you, I don't think the NATO mission there should have happened, because, well, There were better places that could have had a mission like that going on to secure freedom and whatnot.
Well,
Iran would have been a better choice. They're more dangerous.
Something should be done about Iran, but I don't know if war is the best thing to do, you know?
Well, you know, there was that whole Stuxnet computer virus last year, and the idea is that Israel created it with the help of the U.S., So, I don't know. Somebody has to do something. And that's another reason why I don't think Obama's right for 2012, is because I think something's going to have to be done about Iran, and I'm not sure he's the right one to be in that decision chair.
Well, it's hard to know. It's not like I've mentioned whether I agree or disagree with you, but we can agree to agree or disagree, whether. And such is politics. I think that's it for politics today, right?
Yes, I think that pretty much wraps that part up. But
please let it wrap up.
Thank you for not yelling at me.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
That one person would have done.
Yep, that other person. We all know who that other person would be. But yelling is not a good way to get your point across. It, in fact, makes you look even worse than the original person. So I would never yell at someone just for believing in something.
Yep. All right, thank you, Fanaticism. I hope that helps and clarifies where we are on that issue. Next one is from RSS Pi, is what we're going with the name, because the phone garbled it up.
I couldn't tell.
Hello, Shane and our hosts. This is RSS Pi here. My question for this week is concerning Android phones, particularly the Sony Ericsson ones. Sony Ericsson have decided their phones can no longer be upgraded past 2.1, which means we don't get any new features, mainly Flash, on our phones. What do you think about phone companies having a say in whether their phone gets upgraded or not? I personally think this is wrong, and I want to know your opinion. Thank you for listening to my question. I love the show. Peace out.
First off, Flash is evil. You didn't need Flash in this day and age.
I didn't even know where in the question he was talking about Flash. it's the combination of the phone and the accent, perhaps. But RSS Pi is what I heard, so we'll go with that. Well, it's whether companies forcing you to upgrade, like when you have no choice, just to keep using something. It's similar to most...
No.
Most...
He's upset because he doesn't get an upgrade to the latest OS with his old phone.
No, I thought he was up. Upset that he was forced to upgrade.
No, he can't upgrade his phone to the next version, so it supports Flash.
Oh. I thought he was basically saying he was upset that he was forced to. He was forced to upgrade if he wanted to get the better system. You know, why it can't just work on the old system. That's what I was thinking.
Okay, well, I took this as the phone provider doesn't let the phone be upgraded to the next version of the operating system. So.
Oh.
Which is probably the case, because some phone providers do that. I mean, it's rare that, I mean, people wouldn't want to upgrade to the latest OS of their phone, because typically that provides better features and everything. So.
Mm.
But, anyways.
When I upgraded my phone, I was on like a very, very minimalist plan with my dad, actually. And since we were with our company, Telus, for quite a while, they actually gave us free phones to upgrade it with, and they let us keep our same plans. And I'm the only one that I know of that actually has a smartphone without a data plan.
Well, that's good.
So that's it's
good
worked
you managed
out-
to do that.
It's worked out quite well. Usually you just have to, you know, sometimes you need a bit of harassment or threaten to switch to a different company, and usually they'll give you what you want. And it's sad that it kind of has to work that way, but, you know, in very contrary to our political discussion, if you yell the loudest, and usually you'll get what you want. Especially with telecom companies, some of which can be the most evil on earth.
I agree. But, you know, phones, typically, people need to look at phones as a device that you buy and you just use as the device you get. Not as something that you upgrade and you freely modify the operating system with, in my view. I mean, a phone is a phone. Being a phone, it's supposed to be something that works. And, you know, you want that to be as stable as it can be, because you don't want your phone operating system crashing on you. So, that's where I come from in this. And they say that, yes, you know, if a carrier has a limit in that such a device is not supposed to run an operating system, then too bad. You're not supposed to run that operating system. You bought that phone so long ago. You know, that phone is your phone, and you just got to stick with the operating system you can run on it. That's it. I mean, if you want to run the new operating system, buy a new phone. Simple as that. Phones are pieces of technology, and they get outdated as time goes on. I mean, the iPhone 3G doesn't support iOS 5. So, you know, it's just due to hardware limitations, because primarily the CPU in that thing would be too slow. So you got to think of that the same thing as well. Is my CPU going to be fast enough to run the latest version of the Android OS? Probably not. So.
Yeah, well, it's just like a computer, right? It's not like a computer from 2005 can run, well, for example, Crysis. It's, you know, it can't run the latest games. You have to upgrade, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same sort of thing.
And the thing is, with a computer, you can force it to run it. It won't run it that well, right? But
yeah.
The thing is you want your phone to run decently, so you just have to accept that limitation.
Case in point, you know, gaming laptops.
Yeah, and you know, that's one thing I wish computer manufacturers would do, or game manufacturers, is read your hardware, and if your hardware does not fit in a certain range, just make it so you can't run the game.
Which is kind of a problem after you've already bought the game and opened it up and you can't take it back.
That's your fault for being stupid and buying the game then.
I guess so, but if you buy it and then want to enjoy it but just run it on minimal settings, you know, I don't think it's up to the game to shut it down just because you can't run it at an optimal level. It's on your hardware anyways. I mean, you've bought it as well.
That's the difference between you and me. You see that as a user. I see that as a software developer.
Exactly.
I design something. I want people to see it how I design it. I don't want people using some crappy graphics card to experience it.
Whereas, Whereas if me as a user, if I buy some $50 game, I don't want it shutting down on me just because one aspect of my computer doesn't fit its requirements.
But as a developer, that's what I want to do.
As a developer, you'd want everyone to have state-of-the-art machines and have it on the highest graphics settings possible. But as a user, you can't always afford that.
Yeah, there you go. And the thing is, I mean, I just would want a good experience, and that's why I do that. And
yeah,
like,
well,
I wouldn't want my software creating a bad representation because somebody was running it on bad hardware. I guess that's what I'm trying to say with the phone, is that, you know, there are limitations because it will run badly, and they probably just don't want you to have that bad experience with the software in general on their handset.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can understand your viewpoint, but for a phone, it's a different kind of thing, though. I don't have such a strong opinion on phones as I do with computers and games, so... With the phone, it is good to upgrade, but it's like how Trekkie mentioned on the forums how he was trying to find a phone with a physical keypad, right, and not just like one of those touch screens. I can understand that because it's taken me a very, very long time to get used to my phone's touchpad, and as for my parents, forget about it because they don't know how it works. You know, it's been me. Heck of a long time to teach them how it works, you know. So I can definitely understand that you'd want to keep with what's familiar, but at some point you are going to have to get a newer version because not all of what you like will be supported by it.
Yes. Oh, what's wrong with touch?
Well, it's sometimes flimsy. I don't like it. It's so
that's
much.
That's because you got a bad phone. Then get an iPhone.
No. I'm not getting an iPhone. It's the same on all things. My mom has an iTouch, and it's the same problem all across, you know, whatever operating system you have on your phone.
I think I just called someone on my phone by accident.
Exactly. You probably did it because it was a touch screen, and you accidentally touched it, and it did something you didn't want it to do. Oh, I love how we can get more animated about technology than politics.
So, what kind of phone do you have?
Oh, mine's a Samsung Galaxy Apollo.
Okay. I don't know much about that, but apparently, I guess that's okay.
I don't use it that often. It's all right. I use it as a phone. That's all I use it as, to call people now and again. You know, like maybe 5 calls a week.
All right.
Anyways.
All right, so...
We have a good way of going off topic. What's the next...
All right. Read it. From the kamikaze guy.
No. There's another... The last audio question. It's from Unknown.
That was the one I just played.
No, that was the...
Oops! Artist. Yeah, that's right. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You almost forgot.
Hello. I am a RuneK player like you guys. And I was wondering what you guys think about the Dragon Claws and the Armadale God Sword. Thank you.
Well, I'm not sure what we can think about it. They're pretty useful combat items, right? But they're tools for combat. Is there some way that we're supposed to be thinking about them? I think the claws are faster.
Yeah.
They do more damage per
second.
And
they got a pretty good special.
But the God Sword, you know, that's for a really heavy hit, but it's a lot slower. It's like going back to the old, you know, when RuneScape first went into RuneScape 2, or whatever, you know, from classic to what we have now, you know, how everyone used to use rune two-handed swords, and then the new thing was the rune scimitars, and then people were thinking, well, which one is better, you know? It's all, like, all goes down to damage per second, and it also goes to what you're using it for, you know? There are some scenarios that you need a high hit on, but there's other cases where you really want that damage per second, so... I don't really have much opinion on it.
Yeah, you know, there's really not much that we can go on this. I mean, it's a matter of opinion what you need. I mean, if you need something fast-hitting that's strong, go with the claws. But if you need something that has this, what is it? I think 25% hit boost, go with the Armadale Godsword. So, it depends entirely on the situation. They're both decent weapons. They're both older weapons, so the costs aren't as much as they used to be. So that's a good thing to keep in mind. So, really, it's a matter of opinion about what you need.
Yeah, exactly. That's a
Godsword, maybe, if you're going towards the PVM route, and Claws if you're looking to do some PKing, but still, I'm not a PKer, so I assume there are better weapons to use for that.
Yeah. But they're good little things. They've stood true to the test of time, as
yep.
say.
I'm hoping that was the kind of answer he was hoping for, because if not, we really needed more info on that.
Yeah. Let us know next time.
Yes, please do.
And also say your name, so we don't have to say this one is from some anonymous person. Let us know who you are. But we're glad that you enjoy the show.
That makes me happy. Happy, happy, happy. All right, next one.
From Kamikaze, dear Shane and Kula, my question for this week is short and sweet, and he follows us up with a good... And he follows this up with a good paragraph. I am currently F2P at the moment, after my subscription ran out, and I've taken a break from RuneScape at the moment, so a good thing too. I've been playing Terraria quite a lot, and was wondering if either of you have got this game, and if so, is there an RSBNB server I can join? Thanks, from Kamikaze. Well, I can tell you that there isn't an RSBNB server that you can join. I can also tell you that I do have the game, but I haven't played it yet. That is the classic Steam argument. I got it during the Christmas sale last year, I believe. No, it was the summer sale. I got it this summer, and that was when it was on for $2.50 before they boosted it up to $4.99. I think they put it on 75% off as an accident, and a whole bunch of people got it on that first few hours of the day, and then they boosted it up to $5 instead. But I haven't played it yet, but it does look pretty fun, and it was... making waves quite a few months ago. Is a pretty fun game. It's kind of a minimalist form of game. You know,
is it like a 2D version of Minecraft?
Kind of, I guess. I'm not really sure. I haven't even watched any videos about it.
Because I'd never even heard of it before today.
It looks really cool, but I haven't had the chance to try it out yet, and I'd like to. But talk to Paul. He's played Terraria before, and he probably knows what it's about.
Yeah, apparently he plussed one the wiki page.
Yeah, well, Paul would definitely be the guy to talk to about that.
And you can find him on the forums under the username PFK99s, or on Twitter as SilverWiz9, I think. PFK99's actually on everything, so just find him there. And you should know him, because he's the one who got married in RuneScape.
I love how you even mentioned that, even though he's not even here. But yes, yep. That is Paul. Why not?
Because he can't defend himself.
That's true. That's very true. But it does look like an awesome game, and I'd like to try it one of these days. And it's not even a very big install. It's like 16 megabytes for to install.
So why haven't you tried it after so long?
I don't know. I just haven't had the time to play it. The last time I played a game was on Monday. I would be playing games right now, but I'm doing the podcast instead. So have
thank you.
Be glad that I'm compromising for you.
Thank you, Kamikaze.
Thank you for your great question.
Just don't go commit Kamikaze.
Yeah, it reminds All me right. of the... you know, the first time I heard of the word Kamikaze was in a demo of the old Worms game? You know, Worms? You know where they go, like, kamikaze, and they go shooting through the thing, and then they blow up?
Yes!
Yeah, yeah, that's where I first heard of the term. And I can't remember which series of games it was. I think it might have been the first one, actually. But yeah, that was the first time I heard of it. And then later in history class, I learned of the actual term in World War II. But yeah, so isn't that kind of cool, how games can teach you things? Anyhow, that's a nice little aside, isn't it? how about you read the next one, Shane?
Are
you too busy laughing to do it?
From DoomyRGDB. Hello, Shane and Culla. Damon Max is here. Member of the Bits and Bytes clan, thanks for the invite, Shane. Had a quick couple of questions for you. Me and my friends are doing some dungeoneering. We're all about 90-ish combat, and we seem to have a lot of trouble with some of the mobs and bosses. Any tips on what we can do to increase our chances of more experience success with this skill? All right, I want to take that one first.
Okay.
So, basically, if you're about 90-ish combat, the only really thing you can do if you're finding what you're getting is too hard is decrease the dungeon size. Granted, it won't shift the bosses out, but it will make the dungeon itself a bit easier so you can focus on the boss at end. But, you know, that's not the thing you want to do if you're looking for experience. You kind of just have to tough it out if you're looking for the best dungeoneering experience and go for the large dungeons with five people in there and hope that you all can get through it quickly and get decent experience with it. That is the best way to train dungeoneering, is just to have a group of five people that you go with and do large dungeons. Sadly, that's the only way it is, and that's just the way the skill was designed. You know, there's a chance you might be coming upon a boss that was just introduced to you, and its combat level would be a little bit high. The only thing might be to train your combat a bit more to fight that, or look into some advanced tactics depending on which boss it is. And I never thought this would be useful, but you can head on over to informer.rsbnb.com and look up the Dungeoneering Time series, which is up to part 9 now, so there's a chance you'll be able to find the boss you're looking for in that series. You can thank Tim for that.
He's our resident Dungeoneering expert, I think.
Yeah, but he's going to be wrapping that series up this month, so...
Yes.
All right. Next up, I had also a GP making question, and I'm sitting on about 2 mil, and I'm wondering what I can do to increase my pile of gold pieces. I'm 91 combat and have a wide range of skills and all about different levels, so I'm really not sure what to do. I enjoy mob grinding, so is there a particular P2P mob that's profitable, that's not infested with bots, to grind for some drops? I'm thinking of Darox plus Abyssal Whip plus Dragon Defender, so I can kill just about anything I come across. You know, sadly, you know, really there's no point in killing monsters for drops this day and age, unless you're going to the big bosses like Corporeal Beasts, Tormented Demons, God Wars, Nex, that kind of thing.
Because unless you really like combat.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Because those are the things that still do have the greatest amount of value associated with them, regarding to how much money they give. And, you know, that high-level monster killing and grand exchange flipping is really the only fast way of making money that's in the game at this point. You can't make fast money with skills. You can't make fast money by collecting primary resources anymore. So really, it's just a matter of either getting that combat up and going to some of the higher level bosses, or doing some grand exchange flipping with that.
Or just having fun. You might not get as much profit by going out and attack your friendly neighborhood monsters out there, but you might still have fun doing it. So I'd suggest that you could also, you know, just go out and kill whatever is
true
around your level and just have fun that way, you know? And the money will come. It'll be a bit slower, but...
Is hope that you get lucky with a clue scroll and do some level 3 clues, because those are pretty easy to get. And over time, just whenever you do Slayer in combat in general, the cash pile stacks up.
Mm-hmm.
So, hope that helps. Thank you for your replies to come, your fellow clan member and friend, Damon Maxis, a.k.a. Mr. Squid Goon. Interesting
Thank
name.
Thank you for your questions. That is an interesting name. All right, this next one is from Rman100. Greetings, Shane and other geists. I had to do it the New Zealand way. I have recently started to watch Doctor Who. It's a great show, which made me think of my favorite TV shows ever. What are everyone's top five TV shows of all time in no particular order? And his are as follows, and please comment, because he would love to hear our opinions. Smallville, Lost, Prison Break, House, and Dragon Ball Z, which, yes, Shane, I know you don't like cartoons, but for some of us, it's nice to remember our childhoods. Cheers, peace out, Rman100. Did I say geists right?
I think you did.
I think I did. I'm getting better at the New Zealand accent.
I was going to actually do this question in the New Zealand accent.
Oh, really?
But anyways, it's okay.
All right. So,
Smallville, never watched. Lost, never watched. Prison Break, watched a couple. House, watched a few. And Dragon Ball Z, never watched.
I like House out of that list. I like House. It's a really funny black comedy. Well, it's medical, but it's been around for quite a while, and it's really interesting. Not if you're too squeamish about certain medical disorders, but which kind of stopped me from watching it very often.
Oh, really?
Often. But, I loved the black comedy and the interactions, especially when he was, forced to be a general practitioner physician and having to deal with everyday problems and that sort of thing. That was the funniest part of it to me, watching like the seizures or like watching the cuts and that sort of thing, the incisions, that was kind of, But I do like the comedy aspect of it, and it's a really good show. I like House. One of the other ones that I'm watching quite a bit nowadays is Big Bang Theory, actually. And I know it's for Puritans. It's not exactly the nerdiest show out there, because I know that there's The Office Space as well. But I haven't gotten into watching that, and I just really like The Big Bang Theory. And the new episodes are coming out every Thursday now. I think it's into season 5 now, so it's a fun show to watch. However, I wouldn't exactly count those as my top 5 all time. I don't really watch too much TV, so those are the only two recent shows that I've been watching. I've been trying to get back into 24, but I haven't had the time to watch it. So
I know
that would be on. I should start season 2 again. I've only watched season 1 and 8, really. But those two I actually really liked. So I'd like to watch season 2 sometime, but I just haven't had the time to watch any of it.
Good.
But that was another recent one. But other than that, the only ones I really enjoyed are like the old cartoony ones or the really old Disney shows, the ones that used to be on like the Family
Lion King?
Channel. No, no, those are movies, but I mean, like the TV shows, like the olden day ones that they had, the live action ones back in like the late 90s and the earlier part of last decade. Those ones are good. Now the shows that they have on are terrible.
I agree. TV is terrible.
The old ones used to be good, but that was like when I was, a lot younger, so. I don't really watch TV too much, but yeah, those are some pretty good ones. I remember really liking Scooby-Doo and Tintin way back when I was a little kid. Oh yes, and Futurama. I can't forget Futurama. That one's another good show that I love watching, and I'm glad they brought it back. The new episodes aren't quite up to par as what they were, but I think they're getting better, and it's just what they just have to get back into it. But I like a lot of I like a lot of comedy shows, and I also like a lot of the action shows. I don't know, probably 24 will be the most intense one that I ever watch.
Oh, yeah, that is intense, isn't it?
It is pretty intense, yeah.
Yeah.
But what about you, Shane?
Well, I I wanted to do a New Zealand accent, but sometimes it just doesn't manifest itself when I want. But anyways, all-time favorite shows, 24. That's on there, for sure. I'm also going to put a couple of Star Trek series on there, primarily Star Trek Deep Space Nine, because in my view, that had the best storytelling there was. Even if you weren't into Star Trek, there's good storytelling about it and good themes in there. I mean, there's this whole one where this guy wanted to have someone assassinated, but he couldn't bring himself to do it, so he involuntarily kind of mentioned to someone else that that should happen, and then it happened, and when it did, he was had a whole moral dilemma. So that's the kind of stories we had in Deep Space Nine. Star Trek The Next Generation as well, just because it's classic Star Trek with a modern twist to it, so that's why that's in there. Not sure what else I'd class for other shows that would be decent.
So, 24 and Star Trek.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
Any shows like 10 years ago that you really liked watching, or
no,
was it
not
just
really.
Star Trek at that time?
Yeah, just Star Trek at that time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe you should start watching some more TV shows.
I do. This year I'm watching Flashpoint. Well, I always watch that, but
exactly. So why isn't that in your top five?
Well, because it's out of all time, and it hasn't like come to expire yet, so that I don't know where it sits.
Oh, okay.
But it's a good show. It's purely Canadian. I mean, last week in the show they showed downtown Toronto with Sears and Dundas Street, and anybody who knows anything about Toronto knows that's a main street there.
Yeah, or anything about Canada, really.
Yeah, so that's a good show for that reason. Another one I'm watching this year, as I probably mentioned in the past, was Terra Nova on Fox. It's a little bit of sci-fi, a little bit of drama, so that's what I'm watching primarily. But as you said, you know, there's really not much on TV. Those are really the only three shows I watch on TV, aside from news. So
yeah,
and you know, you've been hounding me to watch The Big Bang Theory and everything, and I just have not got around to it yet.
Yeah, well, that's the problem on both sides, right? You've been trying to get me to watch certain things, and I haven't gotten the time to do it too. So it'll bug us both for a while, I'm sure.
Anyways, Well, that's good neither of us put Pokemon in our top five all-time list.
What, you put Pokemon in there?
No, I said it's good neither of us did.
Oh. Well, the first few seasons were good, at least, the original series. The ones after that just sucked so much that I didn't want to continue after
season
five.
Yeah, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I just for fun, I looked up modern version of the Pokedex, and it turns out that the majority of the new Pokemon were added were just like changes to the old ones. Like they do the same things, they're just different shapes and everything and different names.
Well, yeah, that's the problem, you know. After a while, after so many hundreds of them, you start to run out of ideas.
Anyways, thank you, RRMan100, for that question. I'm sorry, I could not do a New Zealand accent this week. It just has to come out as I'm speaking sometimes, so.
Yeah.
And as he say, cheers, peace out.
Alright, so that's it for questions. On to tech news.
But first, remember, if you're sending in an audio question, send your name with it so we know how to address you rather than just unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be emailed to questions@rsbnb.com, phoned in to the number, which is 571-572-2632, or just left as a voicemail on Skype under the username rsbnbupdate. But yes, on to tech news. So last week we recorded the show early.
And someone died. I guess.
Yes. Just after recording the show, actually, it was reported that indeed Steve Jobs did succumb to cancer. So he is no longer with us.
Mm-hmm. I was working at the time, and then I just went into the crew room, and the TV was on the news, and I just said Steve Jobs had died. I'm like, oh, well, that's, you know, I was kind of preoccupied at the time. I thought, oh, well, that's kind of not too good.
So, yeah, well, you know, he did resign in August, and you know, I knew that was coming, especially after the way Jack Layden just disappeared like that, too.
Exactly. He just resigned because I think they knew it was the end, you know, and that they just wanted to spend time away from their work, basically. And yep. I think that they, in both cases, it's strange how eerily similar both cases were. But
I mean, shrines were created for both of them.
Yeah.
I don't think Steve Jobs got a state funeral, but, you know.
No, that's true.
But they were both, I think, had people liked them in the same way. If you looked at any Apple store after that happened, there were half-bitten apples there, flowers, post-it notes, pretty much everything, iPads with candles on them, a whole bunch of stuff to honor him like that. And really, it's all good like that, because if you think about it, he changed the world.
Mm-hmm.
iPods, well, yeah. iPads, iPhones, the Macintosh. Without those, our world wouldn't be what it is today, especially with the Macintosh. There was no MP3 player beforehand that did as well as the iPod. There was no smartphone that did as well as the iPhone, and tablets were a niche market before the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we can't overlook what he did and what his vision was for technology, and just the fact that he told people what they wanted. He didn't give people what they want. He set the next thing by telling people, this is what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it should be noted that it was reported that he left Apple with 4 years of design plans for them to work on. So, so his impact will still be felt for, I think, at least probably the next 5 years in terms of their products or something. But, mm-hmm. I mean, in a way, he's one of the first technology pioneers to go, because it's such a young industry.
Yeah. Well, it's like Dennis Ritchie also dying, you know.
Yes, where did you hear about that?
Well, it's on the forums, but I also heard other places.
Oh, okay, good. That's good. Where did you hear it?
You don't... It's the R word.
Oh, dear.
Oh, anyway, he was the co-developer of Unix. He created C. I mean,
yeah, the C language, which, you know, everything uses C, from every operating system out there, the Linux kernel, Windows, iOS, macOS. Everything is based on C in some variant or another. It's not plain C, but it's based on some variant of C, which is what he was a part of. And, you know,
so in some respects, I'd consider him even more important to our technology today than what Steve Jobs did. But both of them,
I'd put them
really,
as the
really
same.
Important.
They're really both very really important. Important. Yeah, they're both very important.
And the technology world is worse off with them not being here with us.
Yeah. Because if you don't have those kind of people, where would we be without them? So we just have to hope that eventually something else will come. And I'm sure it will. I'm not sure it's Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook. I highly doubt that. He's the next Steve Jobs. People have said that, but I doubt that. But
that came out of nowhere, right? So maybe someone else will come out of nowhere. I mean, Twitter came out of nowhere as well. And
yeah, yeah. So, but I mean, just the fact. See, I don't know. This is once again the developer versus user side of things. C itself is an amazing language for what you can do. It's so powerful for being such an easy-to-use language compared to what there was before. It's not easy to use by today's standards, but it's so powerful. I don't know if you get what I'm saying, but for the degree of ease of use you get out of it, it's very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways. So, those are two people who are no longer with us. I guess we kind of grouped those two together, so that's good we talked about them, gave them their moment.
Well, it's like how in June, what was it, June 2009, how all of those celebrities and actors died? So I guess this is a month for tech people. Everything seems to run in threes, so hopefully it doesn't this time.
Who will be number three?
Please let it be the developers, Zynga. Please let it be the developers. No, I'm kidding. No more Farmville. No more Farmville. No.
All right. Well, should we move on to the next one?
I think we shall.
All right. iOS 5 is out this week, so if you have an iPod or an iPhone or an iPad, download iOS 5. It's good.
And how good is it?
What I was talking about in the phone thing earlier, whereas, you know, yes, iOS 5 is out. It's a good operating system, but it only works on the 3GS, iPhone 4, and the third and fourth iPod Touches, which is understandable because the old ones aren't powerful enough for them. So you just have to have the right device to have the operating system. But anyways, back to iOS. Personally, I think iOS 5 is a great upgrade for iOS. It's more significant than going from 3 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of little things in it. You won't know if you don't use iOS how you feel about it because you don't use it. But it's just the little things. It's kind of the same way I think you could say going from Windows Vista to Windows 7 was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my favorite feature in iOS 5 has to be probably iMessenger. Basically, it allows you to send messages to anybody with an iDevice without needing a texting plan, which is really good on Apple's part, because if you think about it, you know how old and ancient the texting system is, right? 160 characters. So this is completely free. It uses Wi-Fi or your 3G connection and goes to any iOS device. So that's definitely a good feature. Another thing is there's a few extra little applications like the Reminders application. iCloud is out, which basically you don't get the benefit if you're on Windows, but if you're on a Mac, it lets you sync your bookmarks and everything automatically now between your iPhone and your Mac Safari browser. It also can do things like mail, calendars, contacts, reminders, notes, photos you take on your iPhone automatically get sent up to iCloud and then viewed on any device. Same thing with any document you write in Pages, Keynote, or Numbers. You use that on OS X, you can access it on your iPhone, etc. So iCloud is a good part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, with the iPhone 4S, those people get Siri, and this wasn't out last week, but there's a video about what Siri would be like if it was run by GLaDOS, and for anybody who doesn't know, GLaDOS is the computer that controls Portal. I'm pretty sure you played Portal, right?
Yeah, I've played Portal. I have Portal 2 now, but I haven't tried it yet. Haven't had time. Yeah, it was on Steam half off. It was for $15. I'm like, oh, well, that's good. I'm getting it. I'm gonna try it sometime.
Yeah. So, anyways, I'll just play a bit of this video. Because it's the sound that's mostly in it.
Read me the message.
New message from P. Bad news. Combustible lemons failed. Can you meet us at 10?
Reply, definitely. I'll see you there. Play my running mix.
Oh, joy.
What's the traffic like around here?
The traffic will be slow and meaningless. Just like your sad little life. She won't mind. She doesn't really love you anyway.
Is it going to be chilly in San Francisco this weekend?
Not too cold. Your few extra pounds should be suitable insulation to keep you warm.
What about Napa Valley?
I hear it's beautiful there. Unlike you.
How many cups are in 12 ounces?
Let me think. Do you really need to make those extra cupcakes?
Set my timer for 30 minutes.
Okay, 30 minutes and counting. Until I end your sad attempt at a life. New notification from Sandy Chen. Are we still on for dinner tonight? Perhaps you should have a snack instead. You're looking a little heavy.
Reply. Sure, I'll be there.
Here's your reply to Sandy Chen. Sure. I will be there. Me and my extra 20 pounds.
Oh, that's so great.
Oh. Oh. So, if only Siri was like that.
Yeah.
And that is a feature only available to iPhone 4S.
Yeah.
So, anyways, update to iOS 5 if you've got an iTouch device. I'm not going to give out my iMessage handle on the show here because I don't want strangers randomly messaging me. So,
even strangers that enjoy the show? No.
Yes, if they want to message me, they can send me a PM. I don't need to be sitting around here and hearing this little beep go off when somebody who is a show listener sends me a message, because my alert is a Star Trek sound. So yeah. Oh, that's another favorite feature of iOS 5. You can change the sound that text messages send now.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. So I'm happy about that. You can also tweet from anywhere, and you get this little cute bird sounding sound.
Yeah.
You hear that?
Yeah, I did. That's kind of cool.
Yep. Anyways. But in other mobile-related news, BlackBerry was out. I don't know if there's anybody listening who uses a BlackBerry, but I just figured I'd highlight this, seeing as, you know, it's kind of unacceptable that a company that has that many users can go out for more than a few hours at a time.
PlayStation Network.
Oh, yeah, that too. Right. Forgot about that one. But anyways, BlackBerry is back, so I personally don't know anybody in my age group or demographic who uses a BlackBerry, except for my dad. Bill, you know, he's in government, government worker. So, you know, that's kind of what they use there.
Lots of people at work, some of my coworkers who are younger than me, they use BlackBerries, and they were all upset that they couldn't text each other. Yeah, they were
young
all upset.
Young people use BlackBerries?
What? Yeah, young people use BlackBerries, believe it or not.
Really? I did not know
that. I was actually kind of surprised by this. But anyhow, they were all upset that they couldn't text anyone. I'm like, it's just one day. Yeah, I'm sure you can live without texting for one day.
Yes, yes, yes. So, especially if it's like old-fashioned texting and not BlackBerry Messenger texting. Because that's BBM. That's essentially what iMessage is. It's Apple's BBM type thing. So,
yeah.
Anyways, with that being said, on to one final piece of news. Coming from Google, they're doing some fall cleaning.
Really?
Yes. They're killing off Code Search, and they're killing off Google Buzz.
Wait, what's Google Buzz? No, I'm kidding.
And the Buzz API.
That's the thing that never caught on.
Yep. And you know, the only person on my list who uses Buzz is Chief Snake, and that's through piping his Twitter into it.
Yeah.
So, nobody's going to miss Buzz.
No, I don't think so.
Along with this, they're also killing Jaiku, which is a thing they acquired in 2007 that was like a Twitter clone. They're also turning off the iGoogle social features on the iGoogle homepage. And the University Research Program for Google Search, which provides API access to our search results for a small number of approved academic researchers, which will close on January 15th, 2012. And in addition, they're also shutting down the Google Labs website, which is a website for basically anything that's a minor Google project. Which, this is all interesting because it shows that Google's wanting to slim down and really focus in on what they're doing. And this is kind of the same thing that Apple did when Steve Jobs came back in the late 90s. They had all these things going on all over places, and he slimmed it down to a slim product line. So I'm wondering if Google's going to be doing the same thing here.
It's possible. Or maybe it's just that they found that a lot of the stuff that they were working on really wasn't going anywhere, and that they were just wanting to work on what made them successful.
Because what's the point in Google Buzz if you've got Google Plus?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Have you tried Google Plus yet?
No. But I was thinking about that today, actually, and I was looking on my list, and not very many people have Google Buzz, and the only people that do are the people that are technology-minded, which is sadly quite few people on my Facebook list. So
that's too bad.
There's not too many people that I'd be talking to that I wouldn't already be talking to on Facebook anyways.
What about Google Chrome? Have you done that yet?
No.
It's a 3 megabyte download.
I know, but I just don't feel like switching right now.
It imports everything.
Oh, just be glad I'm not using IE.
No, I'd like you to use IE. IE9 is good on Windows.
Just be glad I'm not using IE6.
Okay, I'll accept that.
Things could be worse, Shane. I could be Zimbabwe.
Oh dear!
See, that's your line of reasoning. I'm turning it back against you now, and we've come.
And with
full
that, you
circle.
Are correct because Firefox 7 is decent. So that's okay. I'm happy. I'm happy as long as you're using Firefox.
And I'm using the updated version of Firefox as well. So I mean,
good. Oh wow! So that's it for tech news. See, maybe we should have done this show as if we were GLaDOS and answered sarcastically to everything.
I do it enough anyways. Oh, that was a good way to end off the segment.
Yes. Anyways, on to other things. In particular, the Skill of the Month update. Which is turning out to be interesting. Because we had a little change in third place. In that Pris is still first with 6.8 million prayer experience. I say prayer experience because prayer experience is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Second place is Sexy Ketchup with 5.9 million experience gained. And this is the change. Adiv is now in third place with 5.6 million. Fourth is New Hero with 5 million. And fifth is Poison Nova with 3.7 million experience gained.
Mm-hmm. But it looks like people have stopped gaining experience very much.
Yeah, because, you know, it's prayer, and you only have a set amount of money, so.
Yeah, that's true. So there's, six people that have gotten a fair amount, and then a lot of people that haven't gotten hardly any. That's probably not proper English. Haven't gotten hardly any.
Oh, I don't even care anymore. I've given up on using proper English this episode. Figures George Bush can be president and use the words internets in his sentences, I cannot use proper language.
That's true, too.
All right. So
that was still the month.
Achievements of the week. We got 4 of them this week. So I'll start. Maniacs, 99 agility on the 14th. Congratulations.
We have Poison Nova with 99 prayer on October 9th. Congratulations.
And Pris with 99 magic on the 8th.
And Maniacs with 99 thieving on the 5th. So congratulations to you all. We have 4 of them. That's more than usual.
Yep, so that's good. I think the record is 7, so come on, get some 99s.
So those are some pretty cool achievements because agility,
yeah,
that
especially
takes a lot
the prayer, agility, magic, and thieving, they're all good ones.
They are all good ones. It's not like cooking or fletching, not to diminish those. But those take a lot of time, a lot of perseverance, and a lot of cash.
Yes. I got 99 agility, too. And I know that's a hard one.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you've even been leveling up your prayer, so you know how that one's been going.
Yeah, that was expensive. I spent about $40 million on that. And now Infernal Ashes are roughly $2,000 each, so I've lost probably 25 million GP on this thing now.
But if you want to get 99, it means that it'll cost less for you then.
Yeah, but I don't have the money to do it. If somebody wants to send me some money, I'll gladly get 99 prayer. I don't know when I'll pay it back, but I'll gladly take it.
It's like saying if someone wants to give me money, I'll buy myself a house.
Yes. Let me see how many I would need. Infernal Ashes with Gilded Altar, 19.3K of those times 1920 GP each. Yeah, I'd need 37 million GP. So if anybody wants to, I'll do it. But
so Shane's basically downgraded his offer. I mean, you used to be able to give him a party hat and he'd give you his picture, but now you just have to give him a bunch of money and he'll only get XP. You don't even get a picture of him anymore.
But there are other ways to get the picture. Ain't that right?
That's true. That is very true. You have to get the picture. That's the most important thing. Anyhow, on to someone's pick. I have one if you don't, but I do have one because it is a great one. And I actually can't remember if I've used this one before or if Earth had used it in front of me, but I'm going to use it anyways. It is Dream Theater, which is a progressive rock band from the States. And they are
Progressive rock bands?
Yeah, that's a whole genre.
It's How is called a rock band progressive?
It's called progressive. There's a genre for everything. Prog rock? Come on. But anyhow, they're a really great band to listen to. They've got some of the longest songs I've ever heard. But they've got some really good songs. They've been around since before I've been born. But they've got quite a few albums out now, and their band member lineup has been staying pretty stable for quite a while, except that Mike Portnoy, one of the better drummers in the world, I'd say, he ended up leaving the band last year, but now they've got a new drummer, and they came out with a new album in 2011, about a month ago, actually, on September 13th. And it's a really good album. I like listening to it. So if you're into, progressive music, really long songs, and good lyrics, too, and good songwriting, progressive metal and that sort of thing, they're a really good band to listen to. And if you're looking for a place to start, I'd go with Images and Words, which was their second album, and that was released in 1992. And it's got some really good songs on there. So yeah, if you're in that sort of line of thinking, I've tried to get people hooked on it. I know that Earth really likes it, but
who's Earth?
Who's Earth?
Yeah.
Who is Earth? You know, Earth from the forums.
Oh, okay.
Who's Earth? Oh, that's gonna make them feel bad. Anyhow, Dream Theater is a really good... Oh, yes, and they're actually not pronounced... It's not actually spelled the Canadian way. It's spelled the American way, unfortunately, with an ER on the end. But, oh well, can't fault them for that. But they're a really great band to listen to, and if you're looking to start, yeah, go with Images and Words. Or their 2005 album, Octavarium, is also a really good one. But they've got some really good albums out there, good songs to listen to. They are on iTunes, and there's also a few music videos up on YouTube. They've got a channel. I think it's youtube.com/dreamtheater. So, yeah, they've got.
Alrighty then.
Yeah, they've got some good. They've got some good songs. So if you're looking to start, I can point you in the way of some good songs. I'm always willing to talk about music and games. Send me a PM on the forums. I only get ones from Shane, so it'd be nice to hear from someone else.
All right. Thank you, then. That is Dream Theater. I see what you mean. A 5-minute long song. A 6-minute long song. A 7-minute long song. An 8-minute long song.
Their longest is 24 and a half minutes.
Okay. That is long.
It is a good song, though.
All right. So, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Well, since the last time you talked to me, I've been working still full-time. So that takes up a lot of my time. But still working on Fallout New Vegas. God, I can never finish it. But I actually finished the main part of the game, and I'm on to the DLC now. And it's really, really interesting how they... I just like I think it's the Honest Hearts DLC. You end up traveling to Utah, so you get to experience the. It's kind of going back to a tribal way of existence, you know, like. And it's kind of cool. The scenery is really good, and they've actually added rain to it, so when it turns to nighttime or whatever, and it can start raining on you, and it's just a really beautiful, picturesque landscape within the game. And I'm still trying to finish that off. But in real life, I've been working full-time, so I've been saving up money. Other than that, I really haven't been up to too
much. To run for Prime Minister.
Oh, I could run for Prime Minister. That would solve my financial issues. Oh... There won't be another election for a while now, though.
Thank you.
So what have you been up to recently?
Oh, I don't even know. I've been well, on RuneScape, I didn't do much this week on RuneScape. I did some mining. I don't know if I'm going to actually get 99 and get 99 smithing through that, but I know I'm going to mine my gold so I can... get 88 smithing through that way rather than spending money on it, so I'm going to do that way. Aside from that, not much really in terms of games. Primarily, this week has been a design week in regards to something I'm working on for the website, which you will see in my Informer article this month, if it's not out before. So, basically, the Informer article is going to be... showing a software project from idea, conception, all the way to release. How it works.
Mm-hmm. And what the thought process is and everything?
Yeah, exactly. Stuff like that and all the different design iterations and how it's 3:30 a.m. and you're agonizing over what shade of green to use.
Which can also... It can also relate to writing an essay or doing homework, you know? agonizing over which word choice to use. So, yep. So your article would relate to a lot of things, not just
it would actually.
Design.
So, I know. I mean, it's always a process for me. Do I like the design process better, or do I like the programming process better? And so far, for me, the design process on this has been quite rewarding. So, I don't mind doing the design part of it.
What was that beeping?
That was Paul.
Oh, okay.
I forgot to turn the sounds off before we started. Oops. So, anyways. Yeah, that's pretty much it. A tiny bit of StarCraft 2. That game is, I don't know, I think it might be time to retire soon.
after trying to get me back into it for so long, you know, if you're just giving
up.
Yeah,
I just don't see much point with it because I don't see the point to me investing energy in it if people aren't going to play the way I want them to play, and like if people are going to quit early and expect you to quit early as well. I'm not going to put my energy into that.
So. Oh, yeah.
Anyways, but if you came back, it would provide incentive for me to stay.
I don't have time to do anything, it seems, right now. I need to not be working full time. I've had more. I'd have much more interesting stories if I wasn't.
What? Nothing interesting happens. Interesting at work? Like nobody slips and falls, or nobody burns themselves, or anything? Or
oh yeah, that was a good gossip for half a week. me slipping and falling at work.
Oh, ouch. But, you okay now, though?
Oh, yeah, I'm all right now. I recovered on Friday and Saturday, and then I was good for Sunday. But, so it was a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. And
That's what that was here, too, right?
Yeah.
I baked pies.
Oh, nice. Wonderful. Pies are always
nice. With our apples from our apple tree.
We had pumpkin pies, but they weren't homemade, though.
Oh, yeah, we had one of those, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys do turkey as well?
Oh, yeah, we did turkey, yams, and corn. And
oh, cabbage rolls. We had those, too.
Oh, yeah.
I love my cabbage rolls.
Cranberries. Those are good. Cranberry sauce.
Yep. So for anybody out there who's wondering, that is Canadian Thanksgiving. It's not just we're all crazy and we decide to have a turkey weekend.
Ice cream.
I can't eat ice cream.
Oh, well, I'll have
your
portion.
Well, I can, but
then.
it's not ideal.
It's not conducive to your digestive system.
Yes, let's just say that and wrap the show up then.
All right. Well, that was a great show, I think.
Yeah, so that's been King Kali you've been hearing. Send him a PM. He wants him.
Yeah, I'm lonely, forever alone.
And me, so shane.rsbnb.com for everything I've been doing. So with that being said, thanks for visiting with us this week, and we'll see you all next week. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Have a good week, guys.